Stevie B, can I just come and lead us in the prayer real fast? Make sure that the words are not mine.
Father God, Lord Jesus, we thank you for tonight. And Lord, we ask you that your words would be Adam's words, and he would decrease as you would increase. Father God, we pray over this room that if there's anybody struggling or suffering for anything right now, that you would remove it as far as the east is to the west. We pray that this message would reach the people that they need to. And we pray this all in the mighty name of you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, man, I'm emotional. Jesus. All right. Hey, guys. I am Adam, and I am an alcoholic.
Adam.
And I believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that journey will be told to you in this arc of a story. It's not that original, believe it or not. Original personality, not that much of an original story. I just can't believe it. It's like the Zoom screen is alive.
Fully alive.
You know, 2020 came and this pandemic hit us. The whole world shut down. And a lot of us were going on to our own meetings, our own home groups, and seeing faces. And if something was happening and something was shifting, in which we were hearing sometimes a lot of the experience, but not a lot of our joy. And we were getting a lot of our strength, hearing a lot of the strength, but not of our love. And if you don't mind me saying, we were together. But where I was going, we were like losing the feeling of hope. And I was on the phone with Dion. And we came up with this like little idea. Why don't we just start our own meeting on Tuesdays? You know, about men fully alive. That we could talk about God how as we feel him, as we've experienced him. Nobody's going to roll their eyes at us. Nobody's going to mock us together. No one's going to say, you shouldn't say that. We don't accept that here. And I take zero credit. I'm just saying that you take a little idea and look what happens. It's like I'm very grateful, and I'm very emotional, and I'm very proud to be up here and to open. And I don't want to name drop throughout the meeting and constantly, you know, give certain people love and not other people love. And I love every single person in here. But Cody, thanks for doing this. Sheldon, thanks for doing this. I'll thank him at the end. He's going to get a big one. He'll get all of it. Stevie, you know. Just thank you for being Stevie B, you know, like, you know, just the message. And you'll hear a lot about my relationship with my mentor, my relationship with Vinny. I'll try to wake Russell up. It'll be fun. Here we go. Let's just jump into it. I came into Alcoholics Anonymous July 14th, 2006. So, last week I just celebrated 17 years. I came in through an intervention. I did not know what this thing was. I did not know what an intervention was. The TV show wasn't out. Okay. 2006 was still old enough that we didn't text. We didn't have smartphones. And honestly, saying I was an alcoholic sounded like I was defeated or I was giving up. I saw Britney Spears or this guy or that person on In Touch or People magazine going to rehab. And honestly, I didn't want to be one of those people. And I walk into an intervention and there are some people I love there. And they had these letters. And every letter sounded the same. Something beautiful about me. Oh, yeah, we know. Something beautiful again, and will I get Will I please get help? Will I please get help? Now, I'm in this room with these people that I love, and I'm like, you know, of course. You know what I mean? Please stop crying. Stop reading these letters. Anything. You know what I mean? People pleasing 101. You know? How can I get you to stop behaving like this? Of course. And I'll never forget the interventionist going, well, that's great. I mean, I made this job so easy. We got a 28-day treatment center. Blah, blah, blah. He starts selling me. You know, and oh, I see you're in shape, and 4 miles around the lake is a mile, and they have a healthy fit menu, and you're going to learn so much. And all I heard, guys, was 28 days. That's all I heard. Now, let's allow you into the ego of Adam Javan at that time. I'm running the number, I never used to talk about this, by the way, never. I was running the number one lace empire in the world. Two factories, one down here in Boca Raton, 59 machines, 150 employees, three 8-hour shifts, the other one in New Hampshire, 120 machines, lower lace, two 12-hour shifts, giving the men up there tons of overtime. I was important. You know what I mean? I was somebody. And I'm like, who's gonna run the show? You know what I mean? What do you mean 28 days? That's like a month. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Where are we going to say I went for 28 days? And they just saw this argumentative, defensive guy. They just saw it. And they go, okay, what about 10 days? Let's just say 10 days. Let's see if you have this thing. Let's just see if you have this thing. I'm like, 10 days I can do. 10 days. 10 days. You know, and now all of a sudden, now remember, every family member is sitting around me crying, right? And all of a sudden I'm thinking about the outside world. You know what I mean? Like, where are we going to say Adam went? Where did Adam go? Adam. My biggest problem ever. You know, I'm worried about everybody else's opinions of me. But 10 days I can do. 10 days we could say I took the baby and the wife to a vacation. You know, we can cover this up really, really well. Because it's about my ego. It's not about getting help. So, as I said, I just celebrated 17 years, and I don't know if you guys can tell outside, but it's hot. So I'm thinking, in my brilliant mind, you know when a good time to do this would be? December or January. It is gorgeous down here, right? I can go take a little break, detox a little bit, get some sun, you know, just... That would be a perfect time. And I remember being like, okay, I'm ready to negotiate. I'm like, okay, so when do you want to do this? And he's like, right now. Now, I once heard this from Russell, so I want to give him the credit. But at the same time, the reason I take this is because it actually happened to me. None of our stories are that unique. I could not understand those two words. Right? And I'm a pretty smart guy. You know, I'm charismatic. I get it. I speak English. And he's like, right now. What do you mean right now? Right now. We're going to go right now. Right now? Right now. Or you mean like tomorrow or 2 days from now? No, right now. I mean, I couldn't process it. That's how crazy this whole thing felt. The whole thing just felt bananas. I just, right now? Right now. And there's like, you know, the bags are packed. We're ready to take you. And I had every defense mechanism you could think of. I had who's going to walk the dog, who's going to take care of the baby, who's going to take care of the factory. Guess what? I'm not that important. They had everything covered. And I just remember, look, I see life sometimes in movies it's just the way I experience things. It's either through movies or music or art, and memories play to me. And I just saw Ray Liotta and Goodfellas being like, okay, take me to jail. Mm-hmm. And that's what I said. I'm like, all right, take me to jail. And I went in with that vision. I didn't go in like, oh, we're going to get sober and butterflies and God and spirituality and 12 steps. I was like, how do I get the hell out of this place? And I went in with this idea that I'm going to be the most dedicated, disciplined, determined patient they've ever seen. And within 4 or 5 days, they're going to be like, this guy's a machine. There's nothing wrong with this guy. It's got to be his family. It's got to be his wife. It's got to be the factory he's running. But this guy, he's terrific. And that's how I went in. I'll never forget going into the detox center, which was not sexy. And there were three books. There was a 24-hour day prayer book. which, by the way, at that time, I was not there, guys. That just seemed overly religious to me at the time. It just did. I just, right? The second book, because it went in size. It went in size. The second book was Narcotics Anonymous. Now, let's just say it like it is. This is Men Fully Alive. I've done tons of drugs. Tons of drugs. Always, by the way, to enhance my drinking. I should mention that. However, I never once called it a narcotic. I wasn't going to touch that book for the life of me. I didn't like the word. I don't know why. It just bothered me. I can't explain it. Now I'll call it a narcotic all day. But back then, Alcoholics Anonymous, I heard about it in the movies. You know, guys smoking cigarettes. I get it. So I start looking in the book, and I'm flipping through it, and I'm trying to figure it out. You know what I mean? The chapters titles weren't that sexy. You know what I mean? You know, to the wives. I'm like, no. More about alcoholism. No, thank you. You know, a vision for you. I got this. Appreciate it. But there was a doctor's opinion, and I'm like, you know, into health and fitness and stuff. So I was like, oh, I could read a doctor's opinion. Now look, I wish I had the memory of some people I've met in AA where they can quote the literature. I love guys that could do that. I love it. All I can tell you is I, for the first time, read my story. The allergy, the obsession, the compulsion. The average people don't have that. Even heavy drinkers don't have it. That hit me like a ton of it. Oh, so that's why when it's 4 o'clock in the morning, I actually have friends that could say goodnight, and I'm like, what are you doing? We're going to go to Vegas in an hour. What do you mean goodnight? Do you know what I mean? There was something more. I had that obsession, that compulsion, that allergy, that manifestation. I read that chapter, and it hit me right between the eyes. The next day, I meet my counselor. And he asks me how my night was. I'm like, well, I didn't sleep that well. I'm anxious as can be. I'm like, I read the doctor's opinion. And all of a sudden, well, what? You read the doctor's opinion? And I don't understand these reactions. You know, I'm like, yeah, there wasn't much to do there. It wasn't like I had ESPN and I could see how the Lakers were doing. There were three books. You know, I'm like an anomaly to him. You know, like, he's like, so what did you think? I'm like, I think there's a lot of me in there. I related to a lot. I didn't use the word identify. I didn't have our lingo yet. You know, I didn't use the word resentment. I was pissed off. I didn't get our lingo. I said, I relate a lot to it. There's a lot of me in there. He goes, well, do you think you're an alcoholic? Whoa, 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 whoa. Take it easy. It's a little extreme, no? He's like, all right, well, let me ask you something. Have you ever woken up in the morning and sworn to yourself that you weren't going to drink that day, but you ended up drinking anyway? And I'm like, every day. Every day. He goes, okay, fair, fair. He goes, well, how about this? Have you ever said to yourself, tonight I'll have 2, 3, maybe even 4, but after I'll cut it off, but when you start drinking, you couldn't stop? And I'm like, every single time. Every single time. He goes, so if you wake up in the morning, you swear to yourself that you're not going to drink that day, but you end up drinking any day, then when you negotiate with yourself that you're going to allow yourself some drinks, you can't control it, wouldn't you say you were powerless? Mr. Charismatic here, right? I'm looking at the chessboard. His bishop might checkmate. You know, there was no wiggle room. My bullshit meter had no, I had no fight. Yeah, I guess I'm powerless. So would you say your life has become unmanageable? So I take stock of my life. I'm sitting there, you know. I just got a huge Victoria's Secrets order. Huge. Just got the car I always wanted. Had a baby. I had a beautiful baby. Got the wife. Got the clothes. And he's sitting there looking at me like I'm crazy. And all of a sudden you hear this. Boom, boom, boom. Adam. You're in rehab. And I look down and I'm wearing slippers. And I'm like, yeah, I guess my life's a little unmanageable. And this is the arc of a story that you'll see over and over and over again. I was Captain Denial. You know, I'll never forget me looking at him being like, does this mean I can't have a glass of champagne at my daughter's wedding? He's like, how old's your daughter? I'm like, 6 months old. He's like, only an alcoholic would worry if he could have a glass of champagne at his daughter's wedding. I'm like, oh God, this isn't good. You know, as this thing progressed, I remember sitting in groups like us, and the first time I said, I'm Adam and I'm an alcoholic and an addict, and it was like this big 600-pound gorilla had just jumped off my shoulders. Like, everything made sense. It was the movie The Sixth Sense, when Bruce Willis at the end realizes that he's dead, and now the movie makes sense. I was like, oh, that's why I got a DUI. And that's why I wrote my ex-wife 30 letters that I would stop drinking. And that, like, all of a sudden, once I said the words, my whole life made sense. And then within a flash, it was like, well, now what? You know, how do I watch football? How do I see my friends from college? How do I entertain clients? I mean, guys, alcohol and drugs was a part of my life. It was a part of my fabric of my being, and now we're just going to remove that? I didn't get it. I just didn't get it. But it's funny. I meet this Catholic priest named Father Ron Bersha. Father Ron. He must have, I look back, he'd probably be really proud of me right now, but he must have been like, oh my God, this kid's nuts. And I'll never forget him talking to me about healthy spirituality versus unhealthy spirituality. And that I wasn't ready for religion, so he liked to talk about, he knew how to bring me in. He's like, let's talk about spiritual stuff, you know, because religion was going to be a little too much. And he's like, you know, you can't get any more spiritual, Adam. You're born with all the spirituality you're ever going to need. Spirituality are like muscles. So you can't get more muscles. I can't put another deltoid on Stevie B and another bicep on Stevie B and another quad. You can't get more of it. What you can do is with what God gave you, you can make it bigger, healthier, faster, stronger, more powerful. But you can't get more of it. And this blew my mind. I'm like, so how do you do that? He's like, well, there's unhealthy spirituality and there's healthy spirituality. And you can see it very clear. Unhealthy, people can't find their words. There's like a dark cloud around them. They don't want to make eye contact with you. There's a little bit of a bullshit meter. There's a they're argumentative. They're angry. Healthy spirituality, you can see. It's in the eyes. It's in the feeling around them. It's a celebration. They're happy to see you. They seem to find their words very easy. I want that. How do I get that? So he has me meet him at his office the next day. All right, here we go. I'm sitting in Father Ron's office. There's Jesus everywhere, mind you. Okay? And at that time, I was a little intimidated. And he goes, do me a favor. He goes, can you stick your arm out? So I stick my arm out. And he goes like this with his fingers. And he goes, Adam, do you see what I did there? So I look at my arm. I look at the Father. I look at my arm. And I'm like, Father, I don't see anything. He goes, okay. All right. By the way, I heard this a lot in rehab. Relax. I heard that a lot. Relax. So he does it again. He goes, you see what I did this time? Now, I tend to use humor when I'm uncomfortable. So I'm like, you know, Father, I'm Jewish. There may be a disconnect here. I have no idea what you're talking about. He starts giggling. He does it again. He goes, what about that time? And I'm looking at my arm. Guys, I can't figure this out for the life of me. I'm looking at my arm. I look at the Father. I'm looking at my arm. I'm like, you know, Father, I heard about you guys with little boys. I'm good with it. Right? At that moment, he turns off the lights and he puts a UV light on my arm. And there are all my fingerprints glowing in purple. And he goes, do you think that there's a power around you that's been around you your whole life that's protecting you, guiding you, that none of the five basic senses can pick up on that has brought you here to me now? And I'm looking at these fingerprints glowing. And I'm like, Father, I can believe. And he turns the lights back on and they disappear. And I think it's like a magic trick. I'm like, do it again. And he does it again for me. And this Catholic priest downloaded me into the matrix.
right? I was like, whoa. You know what I mean? Like, you know how Neo was in the movie? Like, I know Kung Fu. Like, I know God. I know God exists. I'm starting to believe this stuff. I'm actually starting to, like, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm starting to believe this stuff. Not like I think it's a cute idea. You know, I'm believing in it. One of the things they had me do before my 10-day treatment was over was I had to tell my story to these 30, 40 alcoholic addicts that I've never met before, by the way. And after, upon completion, I was allowed to supposedly leave. Now, I'm not a tough guy. I want you guys to know that. Dion will understand this. Stevie will understand this. Chip will understand this. Vinny will definitely understand this. The way I was raised, if somebody says, you know, so you say your story, like, what's your story? Say your story. It's like, well, what's your fucking story? You know what I mean? Like, what do you mean, what's my story? Like, I was very offended. I didn't understand our language. I didn't understand what this meant. So he's like, you gotta tell your story. I'm like, tell my story. Tell your fucking story. I don't get it. I was very upset. I was very, like, offended. You know, and he's like, no. He's like, you tell them where you were born, what it was like, you know, how, what was like growing up with your parents, you know, the first time. You know, I was like, oh yeah, I can do that. You know, like, so how I ended up here at treatment? He's like, exactly. Tell him that. I'm like, perfect. So I introduced myself. Hey guys, I'm Adam. I'm an alcoholic and addict. I was born May 19th, 1976 in New York. I really was raised in Tenafly, New Jersey, about 5 minutes away from the George Washington Bridge. Spent a lot of time in the city. But you know, really the one thing that bothered me my whole life that annoyed me was I was the fat kid. You know, I was the heavy kid. My dad used to call me El Chubbo. You know, there was a movie back in the day called The Goonies, and there was this kid called Chunk, and he would do the Chunk Shuffle. And my friends would have me do the Chunk Shuffle, and I hated it. I just hated it. But what it did do was it gave me this charismatic class clown personality, very other oriented, so I could read the room, and I knew when you were about to tease me or make fun of me, so I would say the joke first and build a friendship with you. I could build relationships very quick. Well, you know, 1986, when I actually met Dion, I'll get back into that. I moved down to South Florida, where it's hot every day, and you can be by the beach, and you could be in the pool, and I used to wear a t-shirt in the pool. It would suck to my fat anyway, but I just didn't like the way I looked. And my mom just saw what I was feeling, and she started buying me Muscle and Fitness magazine and Flex magazine and Arnold Schwarzenegger's Encyclopedia for Bodybuilding. And we stopped eating six-piece chicken McNuggets and fries, and she'd make me grilled chicken and apples. And I mean, let's say it wasn't like today, you know, the 80s, it was like, you know, you read magazines and you pretended to be these bodybuilders. But in 4 short years, I went from being the heaviest kid in the class to the best built kid in the class, right? I went from guys being like, yo, how many Oreos did you eat last night, Chubbs? To, hey man, how much can you bench? You know what I mean? The girls liked me. I was right. The outside matters. I was right. Now, with the body came these skills and more coordination. I was able to compete and do well with the older kids. And the older kids were experimenting, you know, drinking marijuana. And nobody put a gun to my head. It wasn't like that at all. When you're hanging out with older kids and you're that age in my time period, there's just something cooler about it. Like, they have more freedom. They just seem like they know more. You know, it's a privilege to be with these older kids. And all I know is they passed it, and I drank it, and it fixed something inside of me that I did not know was broken. It fixed it. It totally fixed whatever was inside of me that I didn't know was broken. And all of a sudden, I saw with a different person. You know, I was still Adam inside. All of a sudden, I was like, oh, hey, yo, let's do this again. This is great. This is great. This is how I want to be all the time. And I dedicated my life to that feeling. I was the first one in my high school with a fake driver's license. It was from Iowa. It was terrible. It would work all the way out in 441 like a charm. Also, I went to Arizona State University, which Playboy and Penthouse. So it was the number one party school in the country, which it was. And I dominated there.
You know what I mean? Like, alcohol and drugs were a part of my soul. And then I gotta, you know, work hard, play hard, and I come out of college, and I go right to work, and it was like boot camp. It wasn't like, oh, you're Adam Javelin. No, it was like, oh, you're a javelin. You're the first one to come, the last one to leave. No one and I were talking. I had to start at night shift. I had to be a janitor. Then I had to learn inventory. Then I had to do quality control. Then I had to be a mechanic. Then I had to go into shipping. Then I had to understand the inventory. Then I had to understand what my secretaries did. Then I had to go into the design department. And then I could start learning how to run a company. You know what I mean? And guess what? That makes you really, really thirsty. Makes you really, really thirsty. And before you know it, I'm not able to control it. It's controlling me. My wife hates my drinking, so I find Xanax. I'm popping Xanax. Then I'm mixing the Xanax with the drinking. Then I need an Ambien to sleep because I have so much anxiety. Basically, if there was a pill for what I was feeling at that moment, I got it. And at the same time, I'm drinking like a fish. I'm drinking like a fish. Tell them about the fight I had with my ex-wife. You know, I was, you know, never physical, but just, I just got really dark, guys. Really, really dark. The darkness of the soul. Everything was a scam. The NBA was fixed. The NFL was fixed. Nothing is real. Politics is BS, and there's no God. I was just dark. Okay? I was just dark. I walk into an intervention, and I end up here. And these 30, 40 alcoholics start stepping up. They start clapping. Oh, my God, Adam. Woo! Like I was like on a podium or something, you know? Oh, I was the fat kid. I was the skinny kid. I went to Ohio State. I got a DUI. And I'm like, this cannot be good. Like, these maniacs are relating to me. Yeah, this can't be good. Guys, all I could tell you was on the ninth day, I had an experience, a spiritual experience, a moment of clarity that I would never want to relive again. Some people get knocked off a horse and can't see for 3 days. They change their name from Saul to Paul. Mine came in a panic attack that I thought my chest was about to rip out of my chest, you know, literally pump out, and there was so much tension in my brain, I thought my face would melt off. And I run to the nurse's station, and they're like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I'm like, I think this is real. I think this is real. They start taking my blood pressure. It's like 190. Like, this was actually physically happening to me. This was not some made-up thing. They're like, you got to calm down. I'm like, I think I have to stay. You know, I think I have to stay. I think everything you guys are teaching me, you know, the 12 steps, the you know, what happened to me in my childhood, the God thing, the fingerprints glowing, the, you know, I'm powerless over alcohol. This is making a lot of sense. I don't think I can go back out there yet. And like, so what's wrong with that? I'm like, well, I told everyone I was going to be out in 10 days. I'm like, what are we going to tell them? They're like, calm down. They'll be just fine. Well, like a good alcoholic and addict, I run to the nurse's station, call my ex-wife. It's 5 in the morning, mind you. I'm like, are you up? She's like, no, I'm not up. And by the way, you woke the baby up. What's wrong? And she has no idea what's going on in rehab, by the way. She thinks I got stabbed. You know, I'm like, listen, I got some really, really bad news. Really bad news. And she's like, okay, what is it? I'm like, I'm an alcoholic. And I think I have to stay. Dead silence. Then, I was never going to come pick you up. We were never going to come pick you up. Don't you see? Don't you see it's you? It's Adam this and Adam that. And Adam needs the tequila and Adam needs to go to the gym and Adam needs to run the company and Adam. And guys, this, some people call it the parallel process. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I saw two, it wasn't like I was Mr. Surrender quite yet, because then I saw two choices in front of me. I saw the nasty, mean, I'm right, you're wrong alcoholic get on the phone and go, okay, listen up. Get your ass in the car. Pick me up. I'm out of here. Get the divorce papers ready. We're splitting. Like, I just saw this angry, I'm right, you're wrong, I don't need this nonsense guy. And then I saw this other guy. I didn't know if this guy had to wear a yarmulke. I didn't know if he had to wear a robe. I didn't know if he had to commit to being poor. I didn't know if he was going to get baptized. I didn't know anything about this guy, but I knew he was sober. And I jumped in with both feet. And I never looked back. I came into AA. Oof, man, this is weird. I came into AA. And I see Dion sitting in the corner. And in 1986, he came to play at my school. Okay? Came to play at my school. Now, I don't know if I was the only kid that had the accent. I don't know, but he made me feel really special that day. Really special. And I come up to him, and I want you to hear the inside dialogue in my head. Are you ready? He's never going to remember. He's going to think I'm asking for an autograph. I feel like such a schmuck. Why are my feet still taking me towards him? This is the stupidest thing I've ever done. I don't want to sit in the front of the room. I'm totally afraid. This is stupid. And I come and I tell him, and he remembers. He remembers coming to my school and playing. And there was an open seat. And he tells me to have a seat. Come, sit down here. He had a friend next to him that some of us know named Ben. And Ben looked at me, he goes, buckle your seatbelt. You're in for the ride of your life. And I asked Dion if he would have lunch with me. I love you. I had, for the first time in my life, I believe, someone that I knew spoke the truth and that I could emulate and that made me feel strong as a man inside. Not, oh, I run a lace company. Oh, I'm a big shot. No, none of that. Like, I felt sound. I felt sound next to him. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, so we were talking about this earlier, but if you're a soldier and you have a general and they've been in the war and they know where the booby traps are and they know where the landmines are and they know where to make a left and they know where to make a right, you know, you're an idiot if you want to go play Rambo. You know, I had a course. I had a direction. I fall in love with AA. You know, I fall in love with AA. And before you know it, this thing takes over my life, like my whole personality. You know, I'm speaking here and I'm sponsoring half of Boca, but something was still missing. Something was missing. My mother's from Israel. If you go to Jerusalem, which I pray you all get to, Jesus' last steps and the Wailing Wall, there's no confrontation. The temple and the church, there's no confrontation. There's so much love. Trust me, there's more confrontation in AA about Jesus than there is in the Holy Land. You can count on that. Count on it. Wow. And, you know, this guy, this man, this God man, he's been there the whole entire time, but I didn't really acknowledge him. You know, I'm Jewish. I don't think I'm supposed to acknowledge him. But he's there. And he's always there. And I'm having these deep, wonderful conversations. But I'm also finding out, you know, I'm so fascinated and so in love with this thing. I'm wondering, you know, how did Dr. Bob do it? How did Bill do it? How did the Founding Fathers do it? You know, I want to know more. I can't get enough of this thing. Well, they used the original big book. And guess what? They didn't use the Torah. And they didn't use the Old Testament. And they didn't use Moses. And they didn't use Abraham. And they didn't use Isaac. And they didn't use King David. And they didn't use Adam. They used this carpenter.
Amen.
From Nazareth. I've been to Nazareth. This is an actual place. And the only way I know how to describe this, guys, is when you know the Father and you know the Holy Spirit, but you haven't acknowledged His Son, It's like watching Star Wars 1. And then somebody, you just leave it at that. And then someone tells you later, do you know that Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father? You're like, what? What? You just blew my mind. What do you mean? Say that again. Right? It's like, he's the son? Wait, there's the father. I feel the spirit all the time and he's got a son? You know what I mean? And I just, the same way I got fixated or obsessed or in love or whatever these words are to the program, I fell in love with this. Amen. Having Jesus come into my life, that is absolutely the wrong way to say it. Let's rewind that. Accepting Jesus in my life, because he was always there. Yes. Okay? Completely transformed me on a whole other level and made me feel home. Home in a way that I can't describe. So when I give my story or I give my testimony tonight or whatever we're doing together, I know for a fact that my mom being from Israel wasn't a mistake, that me having this fascination with this man that I thought was from Krypton was just a story that was based off of somebody else from Nazareth that saves everybody, this fascination I've had, that me meeting my mentor in 1986 wasn't by accident, that, hey, the country, no, scratch that, the world is going to shut down, why don't we start a meeting of our own? Sure. None of this is by accident. None of this is by accident. So, you know, my prayer is that we all love each other, celebrate one another, be together. You know, I can't believe we're in person. I want to hug and kiss every single person. You know, I'm losing my words, but I can tell you one thing. I got no problem giving Caesar what's Caesar's, and I got no problem giving God's what God's. Amen.